Without further ado, if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to go into chapter 17. I've wrestled with this, and this is about the only thing that the Lord has laid on my heart. I've never preached this message before, and it's kind of unusual territory whenever you get into a message that you're not really, you know, have seen it in that way before, and you haven't had a whole lot of chance to study it because you've never seen it that way before.
Bless you, Lord.
But the Lord knows all things.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord knows His Word better than I do. Amen. And what He can bring is a lot better than what I can bring this morning. So you pray that the Lord have His way this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 38. This part may not be as familiar scripture as the previous part than what we're going to get into. But the story here, the background is that we're in the middle of seeing David challenge Goliath. Well, everybody knows that story. Everybody knows about it. We're going to take a little different angle on it this morning. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 38, and the Saul arms David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass on his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail. That's like the chain mail that you see people wear, the chain.
Right.
And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. I mean, he hesitated, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. David put them off him. He took his staff in his hand. And he chose five smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He despised him. He was insulted, to be truthful. For he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There's still a God in Israel, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. God's not done with Israel.
Right. Amen.
They're having a little bit of a fight with Goliath right now, but we're about to see what happens with Goliath here. Yes. They got their own Goliath that they're dealing with right now, and all the nations fighting against them. But God will bring them down just like He did Goliath here.
Amen.
Let's continue reading. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took bits of stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines, until thou come to the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even to Gath, and to Ekron. Children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. That's as far as we're going to read this morning. And everybody knows this story of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath. Amen? Everybody knows about this story. We've heard it in Sunday school when we was a kid. We hear it growing up. There's songs been written about it. Amen. And a lot of this probably will seem familiar to you, but I'm going to take a different approach to this. We'll get on that in a minute. But I want you to notice here, David was confident in his God that he was able to overcome the Philistine. Amen. Wow. This man, we got to put some context in this. This man, I believe, according to the measurements given in the Word of God, was about 9.5 feet tall. Amen. That's a big guy. Amen. We have a pastor named Jerry, and he's about 6 foot something. Amen. He's pretty tall. I've seen a few people taller than him. But can you imagine a 9 foot man, a warrior from his youth, amen, all big bulged out muscles and have armor on him and have a spear so big and a shield so big that there has to be somebody else carry it for him in front of him as he goes out to fight. Can you imagine somebody as big as a wall? Amen. That's what Goliath was. He was a big giant. He was as big as a wall out there on the battlefield, and he had all of them turning their tail and running. Amen. Because they were afraid of his stature. They were afraid of Goliath. There was a valley, amen, between them. Goliath stood on one side, and the Israelites stood on the other side with their bunch, and they just seemed like they kept going around one after the other. Who wants to fight this Goliath? Hey, we'll give you the king's daughter. We'll give you as many riches as you can handle. We'll give you whatever you want to if you go out and fight this Philistine.
Amen, son.
I mean, their heart was in the material thing.
Right.
Heart wasn't for God. Amen. David said earlier, is there not a cause? Amen. God wants to fight for Israel here. Amen. I found out the other day that this year is the 50th Jubilee.
Right.
Amen. Of Israel when they became in Jerusalem was taken in 1967. They fought the Six-Day War and they took Jerusalem back.
Right.
And it became the capital once again. And this year, 2017, is the 50th year Jubilee on the calendar. Amen.
Right.
That's significant.
Yes, indeed.
That's significant. I love the way the story goes here. David took his sling and he threw the stone at Goliath, and Goliath fell. And I begin to think about this, just like I said earlier, Israel's dealing with a Goliath right now, so to speak, and all these nations that's fighting against them. Amen. But just as God overcame Goliath here, amen, he'll overcome the spiritual Goliath over there one day after a while, because there's a lot of promises still yet to be fulfilled in God's Word concerning that nation. God is still on the throne. He's still in charge. I don't care what Putin says. I don't care what Trump says. Amen. God is in charge.
Amen.
He's the one that created this whole earth, this rock that's floating up in space. The only thing that's holding it up is God. Amen.
Amen.
Everything else around it.
Amen.
We was looking at the moon the other night, and a couple of months ago, they talked about the super moon and how big it was going to be. And I was kind of disappointed in that. I went out there and looked at that, and I was like, well, that's the super moon. It was real small and couldn't see much.
Yeah.
Here these last few months, man, this moon has been huge.
Yeah.
Looked out there, and just half of it looked like it was just going to come and collide with the earth. I began to think about that. You know, it's something as big as that is. Melissa said, well, eight of those could fit on the earth. I'm like, smarty pants. If it still hit the earth, it'd take it out. But something that big, and all the other planets and everything else in our solar system, the scientists is trying to figure out. God's already got it under control.
That's right.
He's the one that made it.
Amen.
It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by chance. It happened by design.
Yes.
But if I have a thought to give you with this morning, in my message, it's going to go back to verse 39. The Bible said, and David girded his sword, talking about Saul's sword, because he just took his armor, he took his brass. Matter of fact, let's go back to 38 and we'll read that with 39. And Saul armed David with his armor, with his armor, Saul's armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He was hindered to go. He was hesitant to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off from him. If I have a thought to give you this morning, it would be unproved instruments. Amen.
Yes.
You know, you see, if David had went to Goliath with the armor and with the headpiece and with the mail and with the shield and all this stuff, he would have no doubt been defeated. Yes, he might have been protected bodily for a little while. Amen. I don't know how much he would have been protected, because as we said, this man was giant. He was gigantic. Amen. And he knew how to fight. He knew all the different places. amen, the weak parts of the body to strike. He knew exactly how to fight people. He had destroyed many people from this time.
Amen.
But if David had went in the battle of, amen, with unproved instruments of, and all this stuff, amen, no doubt he would have been slain that day.
Yes.
He would have been relying on his flesh. He would have been relying on carnal things. Amen. Things that really can't save, they can kind of protect for a little while. The Bible says put on the whole armor of what?
God.
God.
That's right.
You see, David might not have Saul's armor on. He had God's armor on, though.
Amen.
He had God's armor on that day.
Yes.
Amen. When he went out, let's see what David chose. He said he didn't prove, he didn't test, he didn't have time to work with the instruments that Saul had. David had been out there in the shepherd field. Been out there working with the sheep. See, he had all of his brothers. It talked about his brothers here before this. All of them men had been warriors. Amen. They'd been tested in battle. They had armor on. They had specifically fashioned things for themselves that they could fight with. But they were too cowardly to go against the Goliath. David, he had, what did he have? Verse 40. First thing he had was his staff.
Right.
Amen. The good shepherd. Amen. Had his staff. Amen. He even wrote to him, hey, Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
And David had a staff there. He knew the staff. He was familiar with that staff. And he said later he chose five smooth stones out of the brook. Five smooth stones. I've heard it said many times that David only needed one stone for Goliath. He took the other four for his brothers in case they showed up. Goliath had four other brothers just as bad as he was.
Yes.
He had a staff. He chose five smooth stones. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. A scrip is the shepherd's bag. Notice Jesus said in Matthew 10, I believe it was, when they was to go out two by two, or they was to go out visiting, amen, preaching the gospel, they weren't to take a scrip for their journey. They wouldn't take a bag full of supplies because God would supply their need. And this scrip is that shepherd's bag. He had a bag that he carried with him all the time, no doubt for keeping the flock safe and keeping them protected from wolves and different things like that.
Right.
So he has his staff, he has his stones, he has his shepherd's bag. Amen. And it said there was a sling in his hand. I just noticed every one of them start with this. He had a staff, he had his stones, he had a shepherd's bag, and he had his sling that was in his hand. He was prepared to go out against the giant, and he drew near to the Philistine. Amen. And the sling he had as a shepherd, I believe I've studied this once before, it seemed like, that the shepherds always had these things with them to protect the flock and to lead the flock. The rod was to protect and lead the flock, and the sling was to protect against wolves and all kinds of scavengers that would come against, amen, the flock. Now, early before this, we find that David, amen, was telling Saul, Saul believed he was just a little runt. That's what I believe the word ruddy to mean, the runt of the family, and he wasn't even considered to be a king when Samuel had come and anointed a new king in Saul's place. He was out there in the field, amen, while his other brothers were lining up to be anointed. Samuel said, there's got to be another man here because none of these God has chosen.
Right.
And it comes to find out that David is the man that God wanted. He was out there tending the sheep.
Yes, exactly.
That's what he was used to. He wasn't used to being a man of war. He didn't be that until later on. But we find that David here, I mean, he had his instruments with him. Amen. He was going to go talk to the Philistine. Earlier before, as I was about to say, he had had a run-in. He was telling Saul about his run-in with a bear and with a lion. And he told him that, you know, you don't think I can fight, but there was a bear came out of the wilderness, amen, against me. And I caught him and I slew him by my bare hands. And there's a lion that came out against us. Amen. I caught him by the beard, by his mane, and I slew him with my bare hands. Those were the tools that he needed for that job.
Yes.
Amen. I want you to keep this thought in mind. Not only unproved instruments, but the right tool for the job. That's the other thought that the Lord has been hammering my head. The right tool for the job. Why didn't David go out against Goliath with his bare hands? Think about that. I thought about that on the way over here. He killed a bear. He killed a lion with his bare hands. Why not go against Goliath with a bare hand? That wasn't the right tool for the job. I mean, if he had killed Goliath with his bare hands, everybody would be celebrating what David had done.
Yes.
Not what God had done. He needed another tool. This is a different kind of fight here. And so he had tools that were proved that he was used to. He was out in the field working with these tools. He was used to how a staff felt in his hand. He was used to how the stones were in his sling. He could access them right real easy with his shepherd's bag. Amen. He had all these things in his hand. He was ready to fight now that he had proven instruments in his hand. And I've wandered with this all week long about David and his instruments. If David had gone out there without the right instruments, Israel would have been taken and conquered. Not just David. Israel was at stake. The whole nation. They were all gathered together. There was a war about to happen. Amen. You know, the soul of man is at stake today. Amen. It's not just you. It's not just me. Amen. We stand, amen, between heaven, amen, and the one that stands between us to try to keep us from getting there, and that's Satan himself, Mr. Goliath of the evil things. We see him a lot of times. We see him as great big conqueror, but we forget that God has already conquered him. He's already a defeated enemy. He's a defeated foe. Amen. And many times the things and the trials that Satan puts up against our vision, and we see these things, we think, Lord, we can't overcome them things. Those things are too great for us to overcome. But we forget that God has instruments, amen, that can overcome these things. He has instruments that we can make it home with. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
right,
but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Goliath was a high thing. He exalted himself above all other gods, above everything. He exalted himself. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. The instruments we have as Christians are not carnal things. They're not carnal, you know, like armor we talked about. Amen. Some of the instruments I begin to think about that are unproven in Christians' life today that should be proven, it should be tested, should be used. One of them is prayer. One of the greatest weapons a Christian has in his arsenal, in his shepherd's bag, if you will, in his shepherd's bag, is the power of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer changes things. As an old quote says, prayer changes things. Amen. And that still holds true today. I hear all the time of prayers being answered. Amen. Of God being on the throne, still taking charge. Amen. God has answered prayers in my life many times.
Yes.
And know that everyone in this congregation, amen, God has answered prayer for.
Yes.
Jesus told, there was a weapon that Jesus used one time when the disciples were trying to cast out devils and demons, and they couldn't get one of them to go away. This boy, I think it was, he was casting himself in the fire, and he cast himself out of the fire, and all these different things he did himself because of the devil that was in him. And the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this devil out of this boy? Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer
and fasting.
Amen. Well, we love that first word. We don't like that last word too much. That's like saying a bad word in church. Don't say fasting. I know I don't like it. I've been trying it here lately, and it ain't too fun. Not just for, you know, spiritual reasons, but for my health. Amen. They've been studying on fasting, how much it really benefits your health. And amen. Jesus said, this kind cannot go out but by prayer and fasting. That's one of the things they used to do back in the old days. Yes, we're not required to fast. We're not required to do that in the law or anything like that. Amen. But it is something that you can tap into.
Right.
Amen. That God can use. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to get close to the Lord, I believe you want to do everything you can to do it.
Amen.
Whether it's required or if it's not.
Right.
Praise God.
Fasting. Prayer and fasting. That's two weapons. That's two things that we've got in our Christian arsenal, our shepherd's bag. We can go fight the enemy with. I mean, you know, another one that I thought about is the Word itself.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, the Bible calls it. The sword of the Spirit. Amen. David had a sling in his hand. Saul tried to put a sword in his hand, but that wouldn't work. Goliath had his own sword. Me and you got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of the Lord, quicker and powerful than any two-edged sword out there. The sword is what Jesus himself used in the wilderness when the devil tried to tempt him three different times. Jesus fired back with, it is written.
That's right.
It is written. back at him. Every time the devil tried to twist the word of God, Jesus said it and spoke it the true way. Amen. It is written. The devil does not like to hear the Bible quoted. He doesn't like to hear the promises of God quoted. Sometimes when I get down and out, I find myself quoting John 3:16. Amen. I find myself quoting Proverbs 3:5-6, where it talks about trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. I find myself quoting Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, the devil will flee. Amen. When you start quoting the Bible. That's the word, that's the weapon that we have.
Amen.
Amen. That, other than prayer, that's one of the only that's the only offensive weapon we have. Everything else is defensive. In the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God, we got faith, it's a shield. We got the helmet of salvation. Amen. We have our loins girt about with truth. Those things are for defensive. When the fiery arrows come against us, they defend and protect us.
Yes.
The sword is the only offensive weapon other than prayer.
That's right, brother.
That we have. When people leave that prayer in the armor of God, but it's verse 9. It's after that. It's there.
Yes.
And faith, that's another one. How strong is your faith? Well, we learned a lot about faith this morning in Sunday school. Go thy way, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Right.
Amen. How is our faith with God? The Bible said you had to have a faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Yes.
Amen. God doesn't want you to stay there, but you have to start out there.
Amen.
You see, the mustard seed later on talks about growing up into some great bush, a great tree, for the fowls of the air to lodge in its branches. Our faith can start small, but God expects it to grow.
Amen.
He expects things that are living to produce fruit. Amen. The fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, meekness, temperance, faith. God wants these things to grow in us. You know what that does as a Christian? That makes us stronger in our walk with God. It makes us stronger as a soldier of Christ. Amen. That helps us to have weapons and instruments that have been proven and tested. You know, I play guitar, and I've proven guitar for 20-something years. I've been playing it for that long. When I pick up a guitar, I know what to do with it. But you put a mandolin or something else in my hand that I have not proven, I can't get the job done with that. Somebody asked me to go to the scene and help them out the other day and ask if I play banjo or mandolin. I said, no, I don't. I can't play those instruments. I have to get somebody else. Because if I went in there with an unproven instrument, literal instrument, I'd made a fool of myself. And of everybody else in the band, I'd made them ashamed in front of everybody. And when you go on the battlefield with unproven instruments, don't you think you make God ashamed sometimes?
Amen, brother.
Amen. I know old me. I'll say it, be the first one to say it. Amen. God asks you to go visit somebody or asks you to pray for somebody, and you haven't set foot in the church house in a week, or amen, you haven't lived down to pray to the Lord in so long. Amen. That instrument is starting to get rust on it. Amen.
Amen.
Take it out and prove it up. Shine it up. Every now and then, Dad will get out his knife and he'll sharpen them things up. Right before deer season happens, his knife starts to get sharper, buddy. And he'll say, put that on your arm. Shave that hair. Every time. I don't know why he gets a kick out of that, but he wants to get that knife and shave my arm hair off. But that instrument is proven. I'll tell you what else is funny. Ever since he gave me that 30-30 gun, he ain't been able to shoot nothing hardly. That 240 or whatever it's called, it's not been proven. It don't shoot true like that 30-30 does. There's things out in this world that try to substitute for God. Sunday school, they'll try to, you know, it's good to go to Sunday school, don't get me wrong, but people use Sunday school as a substitute for reading the Word itself.
Amen.
Good point.
And that won't work.
Right.
Because you get fed a certain way, but this is between you and God. This is one-on-one, personal.
Amen.
Between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. People substitute those little Sunday school pamphlets, those little daily bread devotionals. That's good. Daily bread devotionals is good. I've been reading the devotional for the last year. Every morning trying to read the devotional to get myself in the spiritual mood. The devotional won't take the place of the Word of God.
That's right.
Devotional is man's opinion. God's Word is God's opinion. Amen. That's what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Right.
One other weapon that I'll mention that really I hadn't thought about before We think of prayer, we think of faith, we think of fasting and all these others that I've mentioned. But there's one other that it's one of the hardest ones to have in your arsenal, and that's obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Saul, the one who was replaced by David as king of Israel, the reason he was replaced is because he did not obey the commandment that God had given him to destroy the Amalekites from the face of the earth. It was because of Saul's disobedience that we hear later on in the book of Esther, a man by the name of Haman, who was a direct descendant of that line.
Yes.
And he was one of the people that was going to wipe Israel off the face of the map, Haman was, in the book of Esther. Saul, amen, he disobeyed. The word of the Lord told him to go destroy this nation. And Saul, being, you know, who he was, he thought, well, I'll keep the best sacrifice. I'll keep the best lambs and the best things to use for God's purpose. You know, people go out and buy lottery tickets. They'll say, I'll win $1 million. I'll give the great portion of it to God. Got quiet.
They're their own God.
Amen?
Amen.
I'll do the best I can. I'll go to the casino this weekend, and whatever I get, I'll donate to charity. God don't want your money.
Amen.
I want your heart.
Amen, brother.
I want your heart. Amen. And when Saul disobeyed God's direct order, he disobeyed him. God knew that Saul's heart was no longer in the right spot.
Amen.
And look, the Bible says that God looked after man after his own heart.
That's right.
He looked on the heart. When the men lined up, when the brothers lined up to be anointed before Samuel, Samuel thought within himself, boy, this is a strapping young lad. He'd be a great king. What did God say?
No.
Look on the inside.
Yes.
Don't look on the outside. Man, I feel them Holy Ghost bumps coming right now. Hey, I tell you, God looks on the heart. Amen. What are you doing on the inside?
Yes.
Might have been last night talking about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving your tithes and offerings and things like that. We do a lot of things we talked about earlier for show. Look at me. Look at me. I gave $100 off the plate. Or I did some community service work. Or I did that or this. Did you do it for your own gain? For your own self? Lifted up, or you do it for God.
Amen.
Amen. God wants your heart in this thing, because if your heart's not in it, then your instrument won't be proven.
Amen.
Amen. That's what sharpens instruments. Amen. Is if your heart is in it. Amen. And David here, he took the instruments that he was familiar with. He knew. And Saul, he disobeyed God. And Saul said, well, I'll give these sacrifices to the Lord. And Samuel said, God is not pleased with your sacrifice. He would rather have you be obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. Even the best part of the sacrifice isn't worth anything if you don't obey what God says you have to do.
That's right.
A lot of times we like to barter with God. We like to trade. Well, God, I don't want to do this, but I'll do that if I can. I don't know if his dad or somebody else told me, try to be everything in the church. When God wanted to preach, he tried being a deacon. He tried being a song leader. Tried being offering taker, usher, whatever you call it.
Yes.
But God was not pleased with that sacrifice.
Right.
Why? Because his heart wasn't there.
Right.
God was calling his heart to some greater work.
Right.
Amen. And when he submitted to that, that's when God started blessing.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, it feels so much better to obey God than it does to try to do something out of my own gain and out of my own good and say, here, Lord, here's my petty little sacrifice. Are you pleased? We talked about Cain and Abel this morning. He was pleased with Cain's sacrifice.
Right.
Abel's sacrifice came from the heart.
Amen.
And he paid for it with his life.
Amen.
That's what God requires.
Bless.
It requires your heart.
Right.
It requires you to have some stake in the game.
Think about it, church.
David, when he was going to get the threshing floor, I think it was the last chapter of either 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, he was about to buy a threshing floor for God. And the man that owned it, he said, well, just go ahead and take them. David said, how can I take some that I've not paid for? that I've not put some stake in the game for and give that to God. That's not worth anything. But I'm talking about this morning, unproven instruments. And I'll read one more verse and I'll close. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Notice this. The Bible says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again."
Yes.
Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Got to go back to basics, in other words.
Amen, brother.
"And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Couple words that really stand up to me. What he's saying here, he's about to go into a deep principle of God's Word, and he's saying, "You guys aren't ready for that. You ought to be ready. You ought to be able to be teaching this stuff, but I'm having to teach you." We're having to go back to basics, the first principles. He said unskillful, and he also said to exercise. That goes right along with unproven instruments. And if I put my guitar down and didn't play it for a year, I would be unskillful in that because I would have lost a lot of the stuff that I had before.
Right.
Anytime you study the Word and you put it down for so many weeks, so many months, it starts to leave. And that's a scary feeling. That's all I'm saying. That just said, you use it or lose it. And that's true. Unskillful in the instruments that God has given us. Unskillful in prayer. Unskillful. I've heard many times, you know, what a sad day it would be if somebody asked you to pray for them and you had to pray for yourself before you prayed for them. Unskillful in prayer. Unskillful in obedience. Obeying God. Unskillful in all these things. What's he saying? He's saying you need to exercise these things. Strong meat. Strong relationship with God. Proven instruments that you can use on the field of battle and warfare spiritually. Belongs to them who exercise these instruments, who pick it up daily, who are well versed in the Word, who practice what they preach, who practice what they do. That tells me God expects something from us. You aren't saved by work, but when you get saved, you want to work. You want to see what you can do for the Lord. You want to get better at teaching Sunday school, get better at song leading, get better at preaching, get better at praying. It don't have to be some great thing. God used a widow's two mites. Amen. He used Moses' rod in his hand. He used a small stone, small pebble from a creek to slay a giant. Little things count for much when God is in it. I ask you to stand this evening.